Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. Is everybody blessed today? Are you anointed? Hallelujah. Say it with me. Say, I'm blessed. I'm anointed. Because God's Word says I am. Amen. That is the truth. And you walk in that truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. Praise God. Well, we got a few announcements for you this morning. So let me quickly go through these. I wanted to let everybody know that our September calendars are out. And in case you missed the memo, our bulletins, our prayer cards, our calendars are being made available to you on the counter in two different spots in the narthex of the church. That's the foyer area. And so we want you to just grab them when you come in. We're not going to hand them out at the door anymore. So make sure you grab those, because this bulletin's got a lot of good stuff in it, amen. I'm seeing a pretty good article in here written by this guy named Pastor Trey that says the Spirit and the Word agree. I think I'm going to read that later. I think that might be good. Praise God. And we got a lot of other announcements and various things in here that you don't want to miss. One of those being, we have a Sunday evening service here, and tonight there is a something that we're going to have to change that's in the bulletin, because Ms. Donna Nye was supposed to teach tonight, but she's a little under the weather right now, so pray for her that she'll get back on her feet. So that means Pastor Trey's speaking tonight. So it's going to be good. I got a good word for you. I feel like something, we're going to actually delve into a book of the Bible. Some of you might not even know was in there. We're going to look at the book of Jude. Hallelujah. There's some good stuff in there, amen. So come back out tonight, 6 o'clock. Also on Wednesday nights, Minton Williams, one of our elders here, is doing an awesome Bible study on provision with a purpose. And it's on the subject of finances and prosperity and understanding how God's Word teaches us that God does want us to be blessed in the financial arena, not just so that we can have more for our store and our four. It's so that we can have more than enough to be a blessing to others, amen. So if you're struggling in this area, you need to feed your faith in this area. So we encourage you to come out on these Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. And if you're not able to do so, Minton Williams Ministries has their own Facebook page now, and he has been live streaming these on Facebook. So you need to like his page so you can get on there and watch that and get in on it. It's good stuff, amen. Also, Healing School, Minton Williams will be teaching this week. Every Thursday morning at 10:30, we have Healing School, where we emphasize the subject of healing so that you can receive your own healing and you can learn how to minister it to others. It's been really good, so come on out on Thursday mornings if you're able to. Also, one last thing I want to do this morning. All of our ushers, will you stand on your feet this morning? You know, we have certain people that are here to help you, ushers. And if you look around right now, you need to recognize who these people are, because they are serving in this capacity and they're here for you. And we just want to acknowledge them this morning and thank you guys for serving the way that you do. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I think we only have two that are not here now. Jackie Thomas also serves, and Austin Collins, and they're not here today. But we got all these ushers available to you, and they're here to meet your needs. So get to know them, and when you pass by them, thank them for serving. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's stand on our feet again. Now, we're going to do one of our blessings. We here at High Point Church like to say what God's Word says. We believe that we are called to do what God does, which is call those things that be not as though they were. Amen. And how many of you know there's life and death in the power of the tongue? So we need to eat good fruit, and those words that we have come out of our mouth are the fruit that we're going to eat. Amen? You know how we say sometimes in the world says this, you'll eat your words? Well, that's more true than they realize, amen. So we need to learn to put the right words in our mouth if that's what we're going to be eating. So let's say it with some umph like we mean it, amen. We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, so we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So today, we boldly confess who we have on the inside of us and what He provides in our lives. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for living in me and for the intimate fellowship that we share together. You are my best friend. I thank you that you empower me to be Christ's witness. I am strengthened with power through you in my inner man. Holy Spirit, you are working your gifts and fruit in me. So I declare that I have someone on the inside who is working on the outside. I confess that I am led by the Spirit of God because I am a child of God. Holy Spirit, I hear your voice and I follow you. You are teaching me. You guide me into all truth. You show me the future, revealing all that God has prepared for me. And you remind me of things you have already told me. So I declare that I have the mind of Christ. So I welcome you into my life, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you in this church. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in us and through us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Glory to God. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, he makes Christianity fun. You know, they got those books out there, Such and Such Made Fun. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is church made fun. And we need to receive all of his ministry in our life. And that's why we're teaching on him throughout this whole calendar year. 2019 is the year of the Holy Ghost at High Point Church. Amen. So we've been teaching on him up one way and down the other, learning to how to have communion with the Holy Spirit, learning the advantages he provides in our life, what he's commissioned to do in us and through us. All these things we have been emphasizing here at High Point because we want to have more of a working knowledge of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, we don't teach the Word of God just simply to be academic here and cram more information in your head. The reason why we teach is because we're feeding your faith so that you can get that working knowledge of these things in your life. Because we're called not to just be hearers of the Word, to be doers of the Word. Amen? So that's what we have to do here. And we've had many discussions through leadership and things like that of what is the responsibility of the minister versus the responsibility of the parishioner. And one thing that I've come to find out real quick is it's only going to work for you in as much as you apply it to your life. We can equip you. This is basically, you know, football season starting up, right? Amen. We even got a taste of football weather outside right now. Praise God. But you know, all this is the huddle. When the team gets together and the 11 players go out on the field and they get in that huddle and they say, and you got the quarterback says, this is what the play is going to be and this is what you're to do. You're to run this route and all that stuff. This is just the huddle. When you leave these pews and you go outside, that's the game. And that's the way we need to understand it and realize that we need to be walking these things out in our everyday life, pressing into the things of God, because we're only going to go as deep as we choose on an individual level to do that. Amen? Praise God. So, we're talking about the Holy Spirit here, and most recently we began a new series last week on the leading of the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit leads and guides us in our lives. And in your pastor's opinion, this is one of the most important subjects that you can come to understand in the Christian faith. How to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say this is because if we can learn to hear from him and do what he tells us to do, this is the key to miracles. Amen. You remember when Jesus' mother said at the first miracle he ever performed of turning the water into wine? She said, whatever he says to you to do, do it. That's the key right there, amen. If we just do what he's leading us to do. But if we're not knowing what he's leading us to do, we're not going to know what to do. Amen? So there's a way in which we need to come to discern what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. So that's why we're emphasizing this just for a few weeks. Amen. You know, there's a lot of errors in the church today. A lot of statements that are made by good Christian, well-meaning people that are just wrong. They'll say things like, things will happen to somebody, a bad thing will happen, and you'll hear people say this, everything happens for a reason. You ever heard that before? I don't even know what that means. Everything happens for a reason. Well, I believe the truth is this. This might be in our face a little bit this morning, but the truth is this. Everything does happen for a reason. And sometimes the reason is because we made a dumb decision. Right? How many times do many well-meaning Christians go out there and they make a dumb decision, they don't listen to what the Holy Ghost is telling them to do, and things fall apart, and then they turn around and say, well, God works in mysterious ways. That's blame shifting to the max. You understand that? No, we need to take responsibility for our decisions. And the good news is this, is that we got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us to help us make the right decisions. And if we'll listen to that leading on the inside of us, He will work it all together for us. Amen? Praise God. So then, we started talking about last week the leading of the Holy Spirit by dovetailing our last series of the types of the Holy Spirit and talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit by talking about one type of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the cloud. You know, the cloud in the Old Testament, whenever you saw the cloud of glory fill the temple, that was a type of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is this, because you know, I made this statement last week, many people will say, man, I wish that day would happen again where the glory of God will fill this temple. And I told you, your pastor's desire is that you'd come to the revelation that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if the Holy Ghost resides on the inside of you, you're always filled with the glory of God. And when we begin to believe that, we'll experience more of it. Amen. But we also saw that the cloud is also a type of the Holy Spirit in that the cloud is what would lead them throughout the wilderness. Do you remember that cloud that led them by day and then by night? Let's go over to Numbers chapter 9 and let's read a scripture we looked at last week. Thank God forever. Numbers chapter 9. Hallelujah. Now, we also talked about last week that as much as they were led by the cloud, what was the most important thing that they were to be led by? Moses, which is the reason why the children of Israel did not enter into the promised land. We have no scriptural precedents to believe that they did not follow the cloud when it moved. I believe they did. They were following the supernatural experience. But the problem was this, they did not have ears to hear what Moses was saying. And we found out that Moses was a type of the Word of God. So in other words, I would say it this way. Just as the Holy Spirit is needful and necessary in order for us to discern God's Word, likewise, God's Word is what's necessary for us to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the more time we spend in God's Word, the more we hide it in our heart. You remember it said over in Psalm 119, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we always think of sin as some moral failure. Sin is just missing the mark. So sin would essentially be the height of not being led by the Lord, right? So if we want to learn to be led by the Lord better, what do we need to do? Hide God's Word in our heart better. Because the more of His Word we put in here, the more the Holy Spirit has to draw on to keep us within the confines, the boundaries of what God's called us to do. Amen. I've come to find out that the majority of the ways the Holy Spirit leads me is through Scriptures. And what I mean by that is, I'll just be sitting there talking to somebody and something will come up and then a verse will come up in me. That's a great way to discern when the Lord's talking to you. And the good news is, the Holy Ghost is not going to operate contrary to the Word. The Spirit and the Word agree in all things, amen? So we need to emphasize both of them in our life. But we're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit here. So let's look at this verse in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 18. It says, now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. Stop right there. Notice it was on the day the tabernacle was raised up. Now, there's a couple of ways we can look at that. Number one, on the day Jesus, who came to tabernacle among men, was raised from the dead, then the Holy Ghost became available for all of His church. And the Holy Ghost is always there. Amen. Look at verse 16. So it was always. Say that with me. Say, so it was always. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is always there. He will abide with us forever. So no longer should we be praying that Old Testament prayer that David said of, take not your Holy Spirit from me. People are still praying that under the New Testament when Jesus clearly said, He will abide, remain, stay with you forever. So the Holy Ghost doesn't leave you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's good news for some of us, amen. I'm prophetically talking to somebody in this place right now. Some of you were called and gifted in certain ways, and maybe you didn't cultivate that gift. Maybe you made some mistakes and let sin enter into your life. Know this, the Lord has not taken that gift away from you. It's still there. The only reason why it might not feel like it's there anymore is because of your condemnation. And the devil's just piled stuff on there so you aren't sensitive to that thing anymore. It's still there. God doesn't take it away from you. Not under this new and better covenant, amen. Praise God, it's there. Say it's there. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Verse 17. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. Amen? Let's look at verse 18. I don't know if I have that one on there. But at the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. So again, what if a group in the camp of Israel just decided, well, I know the cloud hadn't been moving for a few days, but we're going to just decide to pull our tents up and go do something. And then they go out into the wilderness and get devoured, or one of the ites get them. It must be for a reason. Everything happens for a reason, right? Not necessarily. It is our responsibility to know when it's time to move the camp and when it's time to pitch camp. Amen? And I'm here to tell you, most Christians miss it in the fact that they leave when they're not supposed to leave. And we went into a lot of the details of that last week. So then, let's move into talking more about how the Holy Spirit leads us today. Let's go over to Exodus and look at another scripture. Exodus 13. Thank God for the Old and New Testament. Praise God. This is a good statement right here. Like Moses was there to show the children of Israel how to discern these supernatural experiences, the Word is able to discern us and them. Amen. Praise God. Exodus 13, verses 21 through 22. Let's look at these verses. Here we got a little bit of a different description in this book of the Bible of how this worked. It said, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Somebody say hallelujah. That means the Holy Ghost is not going to be taken away from the direction, the leading. See, He will lead us in the way by day. And He'll lead us by the light in the night. Somebody write that down. That was pretty good. I don't even know if I can say that again. Hallelujah. He'll lead us in the way by day, and He'll lead us in the night by the light. Praise God. So in other words, the Holy Ghost on the inside of us gives us light in the darkness, and He gives us the way, or the leading of which way we should go during the daytime. Praise God. We might get into that a little bit next week. But this week we're going to talk a little bit about how the Holy Spirit does do this leading. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans the 8th chapter. One thing that is imperative that we understand is that when we read scriptures like this from the book of Exodus, Numbers, that even though the Lord led the children of Israel through this external supernatural method, this is not the primary way that God leads the children of God today. See, the truth is this. Many people out there, they get into the supernatural and they get into the gifts of the Spirit and various things like that. And then they want to pitch camp in those things. There is a reality to those things. The Lord will give you external forms of direction a lot of times. I thank God for that. There's been times where I was making a mistake and I either had a prophetic word that was given to me that helped get me back on the path and things like that. But what I've come to learn is that's not the primary and predominant way God leads us on a daily basis. If you're waiting for a prophetic word to give you direction, you might be waiting a long time. We can't afford to be waiting for the annual visit from the prophet to know what we're supposed to do. You got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you to show you. In other words, the cloud is not external anymore. Now the cloud's internal. I got the cloud on the inside of me to lead me in these day and night seasons. Amen. And we see this here in Romans chapter 8. Let's read verses 14 through 17. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Now, do you notice what the context is of these verses? Relationship. It's the relationship between a father and a son or a daughter. So what are we seeing here? That when we get into talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, it is imperative that you and I have a personal relationship with God. It all stems from that. Having time that you spend with God to where you become familiar with Him, familiar with His voice, familiar with His leading. How many of you married couples out there that have been married for any period of time can attest to the fact that because you've spent an allotted amount of time with your spouse, fellowshipping with them, relationship with them, that now you've come to the point to where you almost know what they're thinking without them saying it? Us husbands can do that, I can guarantee you that much. We say something, it comes out of our mouth, and all of a sudden, we know something doesn't seem right. We feel it. We sense it. She didn't necessarily have a look on her face. She might not have said anything. But we know what she's thinking. Why is that? Because we become one flesh with them. And because we become one flesh with them and we've spent time with them. So what am I describing here? I'm describing the fact you've been born again. The nature of God's been put on the inside of you. You become one spirit with the Lord, as the Bible teaches us. But then you have what I talked about on Thursday, is having a soul tie with the Lord. You spend time with Him, have relationship with Him, spending time in His presence, just worshiping Him. The more you spend time with Him, the more you come to know Him. Amen. You know, I'm thinking of an old New Testament scripture right now that says, corrupt communications corrupt good manners. You ever heard that verse before? What that basically means is bad company will rub off on you. You'll become like what you hang around. Well, do you think the opposite might be the truth? If corrupt communication corrupts good manners, wouldn't good communications or good fellowship actually produce good manners in us? You become like who you hang around with. So if we hang around with God, don't you think we might become more godly? Amen. But my point is this, is that as you spend time with the Lord, you gain that connection with Him to where now I'm sensitizing myself to know what He's leading me to do. And I can follow His direction in my life. Amen. So personal relationship with God, knowing He is your Father and acting like it, is what will position us to be better led by the Holy Spirit. But go back to verse 14, because I want you to notice how Paul started this. He says, for as many, say as many, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, people will read that and they immediately think this, whoa, man, then I guess if in order for me to be led by the Spirit of God, I got to be a son of God. Then I guess I need to learn how to be more of a son of God. I guess I got to learn to do something. In other words, thinking that we've got to perform more to be better led. And it doesn't work that way. This scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Or you could say, if you are a son of God, then you can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And why is this important? Because I run across people time and time again who are born again, Spirit-filled Christians who let these words come out of their mouth. I'm just not led by the Holy Spirit very well. I have a hard time hearing from God. If you said any of those things, just look straight ahead and amen me right now. Nobody else needs to know. We've all made the mistake of thinking that. The first key to positioning ourselves to be better led by the Spirit of God is what? Believing what God's Word says. And by faith, believing you are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? This scripture says, if you are a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. Amen, period. And I know people will say, well, it's sons of God here, so this denotes maturity. So it's only the mature people that are going to end up being led by the Spirit of God. No, actually, if you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it said we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Same word that's used right here. So simply by being born again, you become a son or daughter of God and now can expect to be what? Led by the Spirit of God. Go over to John chapter 10. Let me show you what the Lord said concerning this. John chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. The Lord's teaching us this morning. I don't know if you sense it or not, but He's teaching us. Praise God. This is, of course, the scripture where Jesus revealed Himself as the Good Shepherd. Amen? And for those of you who've been coming to High Point for some time, you realize this. We taught on Psalm 23 that the Lord is our shepherd for months. And it was awesome learning that the Lord is our shepherd, therefore this is what He wants to lead us into. Well, Jesus here says, I'm the good shepherd. And I want you to notice what He says beginning in verse 3. He talks about, to Him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear His voice. It doesn't say the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep grow up and learn how to hear His voice. No, if you are His sheep, you hear His voice, according to the Lord. And He calls His own sheep by name. Now, how many of you know that's true? Whether you're hearing it or not, the Lord is calling you by name. Hallelujah. And leads them out. So now we're seeing again that the Good Shepherd, manifested as the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, is leading us this way and that way. Look at the next verse. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him. Why? For they know His voice. So now Jesus goes as far as saying, not only do you hear His voice, if you are His sheep, you also know His voice. In other words, you hear it and you know it. You can discern it. Look at the next verse. Verse 5 says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but he will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Amen. So there's something else to stand on. Man, even when the wrong voice comes up, the lie, the deceiver, you're not even supposed to know his voice. You know, most Christians, they claim to hear the devil more than they do God. I've talked to people all the time, Pastor, pray for me. The devil's been telling me this and this and this and this and this and this and this all week. I said, what's God been telling you? Right? It's like we're so sensitive to that. And then here's the better news, is that if you know it's the devil, why are you even listening to it? Amen? My father in the faith, Andrew Womack, had this experience. He was casting a devil out of a guy one time. And he said to this guy, this is back when people believe you're supposed to be asking them their name every time. And he said, what's your name? The devil goes, liar. And Andrew looks at him and says, are you telling me the truth? You know, the devil's the father of all lies. There is no truth in him. In fact, I get excited when the devil starts telling me something. When he's fighting me tooth and nail to try to deceive me in a particular area, I get excited. You know why? Because that means, why would he put so much effort in trying to lie to me and deceive me in that area? It's because the opposite must be the truth. So I'm like, thank you, Lord, that you have given me a promise that the devil is the Father of all lives. So anything he's telling me, I know the opposite's the truth. And I can get excited about it. Amen. But the bottom line is, we hear his voice, we know his voice, and if you are a son of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. So what should be your confession every day? When you wake up, you should let come out of your mouth, say, Lord, thank you that I'm your sheep, and I hear your voice, I know your voice, and you lead me in and out. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. Therefore, since I'm a child of God, I can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So thank you today, Lord, that you lead me. And you know what the Lord does when you do that? He gets a big smile on his face. Because he's a faith God. And he loves it when his children believe what he said when everything external is saying the opposite. He absolutely loves it. Glory be to God. So I am led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost on the inside of me speaks to me and I discern it. Amen. And that's where our stance is. Now go back over to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at something else here. I'm going to prove to you that you are led by the Holy Spirit. Already, if you're a child of God, I'm going to prove to you that you are led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, now let's skip ahead to verse 16. Let's look at how this cloud on the inside of us is leading us. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself. Now, if you got an old King James version, it says the Spirit itself. Poor translation. Comes from the Greek word autos, where we get our word automatic from, which is what? Self-operated. So the better translation is himself, because the Holy Ghost is not an it. He is a divine person. So the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me bears witness with what? Our spirit. That we are children of God. So if I were to ask you the question this morning, how many of you are saved? How many of you are born again? Raise your hand if you are. And then I ask you the question, how do you know? What you answer, don't get too far ahead of me, Ned. What you answer is critical to knowing whether you are. People will say, oh yeah, I'm saved, I'm born again child of God. And then we went around interviewing you, and this is what some people would say. How do you know? Well, because I was baptized in such and such time. Or because I became a member of the church. Or because of this, because of that. Wrong answers. That's not what makes you know you were saved, you were born again. What makes you know on the inside of you is the Holy Spirit bearing witness and letting you know. So as Ned said, the reason we know we're saved and born again is because we just know. I know I'm a saved, born again child of God because I know. That's why I love having discussions, not arguments, but discussions with the atheist. Because they won't get with you on this logical standpoint and stuff like that. And like I said Thursday morning, I said, brother, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're too late. You coming telling me there's not a God is like telling a guy swimming in a pool, there ain't no water in there. I'm already swimming in it, glory to God. I've had way too many experiences with the Lord. There's too many things I know on the inside of me that God is real, that he is living on the inside of me. But here's my point. If the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of us to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, then you reckon he could bear witness with you in your spirit and with your spirit of something else? Like what car to buy? Who to marry? Such and such. The Holy Spirit, the way he shows you that you're a child of God is a similar way that he shows you other things. You'll just know. You just know. The Lord shared with me something along these lines that I think is really important. Actually, go over to Romans chapter 9. Let me show you something else. And then we'll get into that. Romans chapter 9. Notice that scripture said in 8:16 that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And what that means is this. Many people interpret that to mean that the Holy Ghost is bearing witness and communicating with our spirit. But it actually means that he's bearing witness along with our spirit man, the real you, the eternal part of you. In other words, you got a co-witness going on the inside of you. You got two witnesses. And how many of you know, if you got two witnesses on trial, you got a conviction, baby. In other words, they got solid evidence to prove this is who is at guilt or at fault or something like that, right? It's that way within the inside of us. We've got two things on the inside of us, the Holy Ghost bearing witness and testifying to something, and our own spirit bearing witness and testifying to something. And both of those voices are meant to confirm what we're supposed to do. It says that here in Romans 9:1. Paul says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So we see there, Paul saying his conscience was also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. Meaning what? I believe your conscience is the voice of your spirit. The voice of your own spirit. And have you ever noticed that when you got saved? Man, when you got born again, I remember it was this way with me. Before I got saved, I had no conscience. I mean, I was dating a girl at this time when I got saved, and I told her, I said, man, I can do all these different things and don't feel bad about it. And she told me later, that really worried me. Why? Because I'd seared my conscience. By repetitively doing the wrong thing, you can actually callous your conscience. The Bible teaches us that you can sear your conscience with a hot iron. We could pull some of you guys up here that work with your hands all day, and your hands are bigger than my hands. Your hands are harder than my hands. They're calloused over. Why is that? Because of the friction. Because you've worked hard with your hands. It's that way with our conscience. If we would resist the temptation to compromise and do the things that our flesh wants to do, we can keep our conscience in a place to where it's sensitive to what the Lord's leading us to do. Amen. So when Paul says this right here, I tell you the truth, and I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. See, he's saying here, I know I'm not lying because my conscience is not convicting me of lying. So this is one of the ways the Lord taught me of how the Holy Spirit leads us. How many of you, after you got saved and you ended up doing something you weren't supposed to do, you didn't even have to have chapter and verse on it. You didn't even have to know in the Bible it was wrong. But when you did it, you just knew something was wrong. Maybe with this situation with lying. Some of us have been saved, and I'm not naive enough to think that all of us in here have not lied since we've become born-again Christians. But what happened on the inside of you when you did tell that lie? It might have been a situation to where somebody comes up and puts you on the spot. You didn't really have time to think about it. And they came and said, did you do such and such? And you panicked and you said, no. But then on the inside of you, something grated. Something you just knew it was wrong. Your conscience bore witness to the fact that you had lied. And I came to find this out, that after I got saved and my conscience that was totally seared over before I was born again, when I got born again, it was alive. It was revived. And now I knew, even if I took a pen home from work, something simple. And some of y'all are like, oh, what's wrong with that? It's stealing. Oh, but it's no big deal. They're not going to miss it. That's a problem. If your conscience isn't telling you, that's wrong. You see what I'm saying? So I had this new revived conscience that knew when things were wrong. And I came to find something out. It took me years to realize this. But let me just ask you this question. How many of you would say that you hear more clearly on either A, when you've done something wrong, or B, when you need to know what you're supposed to do? Which one is it? It's usually when you do something wrong. It's amazing how our conscience will let us know that, oh, that was wrong. Nope, made a mistake there. Nope, you need to apologize to them. And I used to question that. I'm like, Lord, why is it that we're super sensitive as born-again Christians to knowing when we've missed it? And it seems a little bit more difficult to know when we're supposed to do something. Isn't that it's interesting, and that's the way it is. And the Lord showed me it's because that's the way He designed it. Because He is not in the business of wanting us to sit here and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Would you like me to wear my gray slacks today or my khaki slacks? Which tie would you rather me wear today, this or that? Lord, do you want me to pray for this person or not? And we go through all of that stuff asking the Lord. You notice how sometimes you might not know what you're supposed to do each time? The Lord wants you to grow up and wants you to start making decisions that are the right ones based on what is written. And then if you get off the path and you're making a mistake, then the Holy Ghost is going to let you know when you're missing it and when you're getting off the path of life for you. That's the way He's designed for us to live. Like it says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it's verse 8, when it says, give as you purpose in your heart. That's why we don't make a big to-do here about giving. You know why? Because we believe in your maturity and your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to know to do the right thing. And we're not going to, like the Message Bible says, not with a bunch of a grudging or necessity. You know what it says? Not with grudgingly or necessity. Give us cheerfully, right? The Message Bible says this, not with arm twisting and sob stories. Oh, we've watched them on TV, have we not? These preachers, oh man, they're twisting your arm. I got you in the arm bar. You better tithe. Right? They might get people to externally obey, but the willingness isn't there. And there's a problem there. Because that will impede us from receiving the benefits of it. Amen? We got to do it cheerfully because we want to. So the Lord wants us to grow up to where, like what we do with Levi. When he was little, well, you know what we did? We taught him to tithe and we made him do it. You know why? Because that little carnal nature that's there that wants to eat the seed. So we taught him that, but you know what we want? We don't want him to turn 18 years old and we're still having to make him do the right thing. We want him to grow up to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do because he loves God. Right? God wants us to grow up in like manner. He wants us to learn how to do the right thing, move in this direction, as the Bible says, John chapter 16, verse 13, the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth, right? And you remember we made the point that you can't guide something that's not already moving. One of the reasons so many people have a hard time being led by the Holy Ghost is because they're sitting down. They're not moving. So when we're moving, the Holy Spirit will say, that way, yeah, that way. Seems good to me. I got a desire in my heart to do this. This is how the Holy Spirit desires for us to live. A Spirit-led life, making the right decisions as sons and daughters of God, and if we get off the path, the Holy Ghost will come in and let us know. Amen. So then, I'll end today by talking about this. What are some of the ways that inward inward witness manifests on the inside of us? I've come up with three ways that we can discern when the Holy Ghost on the inside of us is witnessing for us to do something or not witnessing for us to do something. And the first one is found in 1 John chapter 2. Go over to 1 John chapter 2. The first one I call the knower. The knower. We got it up on the screen. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, this is a scripture that's being written to born again children of God. So when it says, but you, he's talking to the church here. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. So every single one of us has been anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And notice one of the byproducts of this. And you know all things. Now you know the context here is of false teachers. They were hearing the wrong thing in their churches. So he was telling them, you can discern through the Holy Spirit on the inside of you when what you're hearing is wrong. And you know, I found this out. I have learned very well, even from bad teaching. Non-Holy Spirit-inspired teaching. You know how? Because I'm sitting there, And the person's up there, blah, 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 blah. And they're giving some scriptures, twisting things. That's not right. And the Holy Ghost on the inside of me is telling me, that's not right because of this, and giving me two or three other scriptures. And then I put all those together, and I'm hearing the truth. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you is meant to do that. Amen. And some of you even learn that way from good teaching. You can be hearing Holy Spirit-inspired teaching, and then the Holy Spirit's giving you other things to complement that. That's why I'm not a big proponent of everybody trying to write down everything that I'm saying, taking notes that way. And the reason why is because you need to hear from the Holy Spirit, not just from Pastor Trey. And what I mean by that is, listen to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, write down those two or three good nuggets that He's teaching you on during that time. And if you want to go back and get everything else you didn't write notes down, you can get CDs or listen to it online. Listen to what the Holy Ghost is telling you. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, though, just knows all things. In other words, that's why I like to say, I don't need to know everything. I just need to know the one who does. And if I know the Holy Ghost on the inside of me and I've spent that time in fellowship with Him, then I know what He knows. It's like us being married to somebody who at least thinks they know everything. We benefit from all that information, do we not? Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost on the inside of you really does know everything. And so He's in there bearing witness with you, those things, to where sometimes it might be manifested like this. Something's happening, you're talking to somebody, and you get this, I don't know about that. You might not be able to put your finger on why it's wrong or know something, but something on the inside of you, a witness, is letting you know something just ain't right here. How many of you have ever talked to other individuals and you knew there was a wrong spirit on them? You could sense it, right? And there's just something there, I don't know, that doesn't seem right. Or it could be manifested like this, this knower I'm talking about. It could be to where you were making a decision to do something. Let's go here today and go do this. And then you went and things fell apart. You wasted a bunch of time, a bunch of money. And then these words come out of your mouth. I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. Did you know that's scriptural? That's the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, bearing witness. Something doesn't seem right. So if you don't have the knowing to do something, it's probably, or at least you know you're not supposed to do it, you need to just probably put the brakes on for a minute. How much time and money would we save if we would follow that? But don't be condemned if that's you. Just do this. Learn that the same way He communicated to me I wasn't supposed to do that is the same way He's going to communicate with me next time, and just listen to it. And don't do it. Amen? So the knower is one. Here's another one. The desires. Go to Psalm 37. Another way the Holy Ghost bears witness with your spirit of what you're to do is by your desires. You know, that's one of the ways some of us would identify with the fact that we're born again. You know how? When we got saved, when we got filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? Desires came up for me of God. I started loving God. I became more passionate about Him. Many of you were like that when you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Things changed. It wasn't just religion anymore. There was an excitement, a desire, a hunger and thirst for righteous things that rose up on the inside of you. Right? So those desires are a lot of times an indication that you are a child of God, but also how to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at this. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that awesome? Now, many people read that to say this. Well, if I just delight myself in the Lord enough, if I just pursue Him enough, if I seek Him with all my heart, then He'll give me what I want. Not necessarily. It's actually the opposite is true. When you delight yourself in the Lord, when you're pursuing Him and your heart is engaged in pursuing Him, then He puts His desires on the inside of you, which line up with His desires for you. Amen. The New Testament counterpart to this is John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Many people read that and say, well, bless God, I want a new wife. So I'm just going to abide in his word and let his word abide in me, and then he'll give me a new wife. No, when you let his words abide in you and you are abiding in him, then because you've got that relationship with him, then he's going to give you what you've been pursuing in the first place, which is relationship and things that God wants for you. But when I delight myself in the Lord, what happens? He gives me desires. And that desirer on the inside of me is a lot of times an indication of what the Lord wants me to do. If I like, for example, usually every second year, I take a trip to India, a missions trip. And people have asked me, are you going this year? And guess what? I haven't had the desire to go this year. Now, sometimes that can be a problem with you, not having the desire. Your heart might be out of whack or something like that. But a lot of times what I've learned is that if there's not a unction, desire to do it, I'm best off not to do it, particularly when you're flying on the other side of the world. Amen? You got to follow this. This will keep you out of tons of things. Hallelujah. Now, third and finally, go over to Colossians chapter 3. A third and final way that we can identify the witness on the inside of us is peace. Following peace. This is a big one. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, it's supernatural sometimes how the timing on these things work out. It's the Lord. Hallelujah. He has respect for your time, amen. I went to a church one time where the pastor went for about an hour and 45 minutes every Sunday morning. So you ought to be very happy for your pastor. I can promise you that. Colossians chapter 3, look at this one. Verse 15. Talking to the church here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, the Amplified Bible puts it this way. When this says the peace of God rules in your heart, it says act as an umpire continually. Hallelujah. Now, we watch a little bit of baseball in my house. And you got the umpire that stands behind the plate, right? And what's his job? You know, call balls and strikes and this and that. But here's one of his big jobs. To determine whether somebody's safe or they're out. Right? Well, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you will manifest this inward witness in peace to determine whether you're safe to do something or you're out of the will of God. Some of y'all, man, y'all must not watch baseball. Come on. That was good. But the peace on the inside of you is what determines it. So how do I know when I'm out of the will of God? I've lost my peace. Peace is the manifest presence of God. You understand that? When God's there, peace is there. All the time. When the devil's there, strife is there. So we got to keep the peace, amen? That's why, let me give you another prophetic word for all of you people in relationships out there. You ready for this? Make sure you keep the strife and the confusion out of your house at all cost. Because that is a surefire way when the peace is left, the God of peace is left, and you allow the devil to come in and bring confusion in every evil work. And you certainly won't be led by the Spirit of the Lord. You better not be trusting what you desire then. Because it won't be in line with God's Word. So the peace of God is a manifestation of... In fact, not only is peace a manifestation of the inward witness on the inside of me, you know what else is? All the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Like, there's many times where I have ministered to people, and some of you that have prophetic giftings will amen this, is that You'll be standing there and compassion will go out for somebody. The love of God will compel you. And therefore, you don't even necessarily know what you're supposed to say to them or how you're supposed to encourage them, but because the love moves you there, like Jesus was moved with compassion and would heal people, the love is leading you. So love, a fruit of the Spirit, is one of the ways the inward witness works. Here's another one, joy. When you have joy about something. Do you remember when Mary came and met her, was it a cousin, sister, whatever, Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist on the inside of her? And what happened? When she saw Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. John the Baptist started, see, look at this, man. Even in that situation, the babies are praising God. Hallelujah. Doing it. Here we go. When you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you saying, that's it, I'm getting excited about it. Joy. That's a great indication that the Lord's in it. And I could go through all the fruit of the Spirit, but I'll tell you one where we see it manifested in a negative way. You ready for this? What's one of them? Faithfulness. If we are consistently being led to be faithless, we're probably not being led. Because faithfulness is in there. So the faithfulness on the inside of me will compel me like the love, the joy, and the peace. If you follow the fruit of the Spirit and the voice that it speaks on the inside of you, you're going to have a hard time missing it. Amen? But where does it start? What's the key qualifier? Personal relationship with God. Spending time with the Lord. Getting to know Him. Spending time in His presence. Then you're positioning yourself to be sensitive to His voice. And then you can trust, as you're delighting yourself in the Lord, that those desires, that the peace, that the knowing is the Lord leading you. And then you stick to it. You follow through with it and be faithful with what you know He's told you to do until you hear something else. Don't be led around by the emotions, by the feelings, by the offenses, all the things that the majority of church people, it came up this morning, we were talking about it next door, I think it was me and Bruce ran into each other, and I said, you know, we get this statement that comes out all the time, you never know what God's going to do. You know, that's not true. You know what's the truth? You never know what God's people are going to do. That's the truth, right? Because they're all over the place. If we want to be godly, let's be faithful. Let's be loving. Let's be at peace. And when we do that, we stay right in the middle of the will of God. We're hearing from the Holy Ghost, and He will always lead us into triumph. Always. Glory to God. So let's stand on our feet. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, who leads us and guides us and manifests Himself in these various ways to show us the right path, where we're to go, when we're to go there. And Lord, we thank You for this today. Thank You for this awesome gift of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, who bears witness with our spirit, testifying what we're to do. We thank You for the Holy Ghost. We thank You for Your Spirit on the inside of us. Amen, amen.